gasoline and dynamite. Ooh, dynamite, gasoline and dynamite. Sorry, they all had to go with gasoline and dynamite. Ooh, dynamite, gasoline and dynamite. Two words to describe my flow, that's gasoline and dynamite.
Welcome, welcome to the podcast, the Bad Brothers Podcast.
Bad Brothers, we in the building. That's E. I'm O. Let's get it.
All right, so big bro, big weekend. It was a great Friday night SmackDown. I was out. You told me every detail, big bro, and you felt as though that not only did SmackDown continue to get better, as we always say, SmackDown, big bro, was...
That 2 hours felt like an hour.
Right. So,
and big, Raw finally feels like 2 hours.
And it's weird, big bro, because before the change of Vince McMahon, we were starting to feel it. We were starting to feel that the three was going to two.
I couldn't stay up for 3 hours.
Right.
I couldn't do it.
And big bro, the Cody clock came, and we felt like, okay, wow, this time kind of
started picking up a little bit.
And then, big bro, they didn't get stagnant, but we was like, all right, well, where's things going? But we'll talk about this at the end of the show, big bro. Raw equals chaos. So that's all we're going to say about that for now, to the third segment.
I thought New Japan had chaos.
I like that, big bro. I like that. Speaking of which, big bro, the G1 Climax winner is in chaos.
This is a great match.
Okada. So how about that? So, all right, big bro. Before we say what this is really about, as people see what the title is, big bro, we're going to talk about this more next week because me and Maynard going to give y'all NXT Worlds Collide and Clash of the Castle next week. And we're also going to give you an episode the next day of AEW All Out. With that being said, big bro, the match that I'm looking forward to that you talked about on SmackDown when it was a Fatal 5-Way to see who was going to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. When you said that Sheamus won, big bro, my eyes lit up. Because that's a match that me and you never even... We put Gunther and Sheamus with everyone except each other.
See, but the thing was, it was the perfect setup for Sammy to go in as the winner.
Right, big bro, to Canada.
His hometown, him going to Clash at the Castle.
Right.
Then you could have laid the groundwork for Roman and Gunther.
Okay,
had the bloodline help Sammy beat Gunther.
I like that, big bro, but I like that. I like that.
They may have another twist for us.
So. I think they will. And with that being said, big bro, Roman, and I went back and watched some of it, and Sammy
Roman.
And Roman work was very good,
Roman,
big bro.
Roman looked naked. You saw him look to the side when he came out.
Right.
Look behind him. There's no one there.
And big bro, that's him showing you that he needs the bloodline as well.
Yes.
And the wise man.
Yes.
So, big bro, the one thing that I loved about this, I loved that Sammy and Roman finally talked, and I told you that it reminded me of Stone Cold and Kurt Angle when they were in the back goofing off because they were hurt, and they were trying to make up for, yeah, you know, being out. And this is what this segment reminded me of, big bro.
Oh, Sammy is so underrated.
Right.
You got to let him shine sometimes. He's a master on the mic.
And big bro, now that Triple H is taking over, I mean, he was already on SmackDown every week with Vince, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. KO's already on Raw and SmackDown every week with
but
Vince.
But it seems like they have such a bigger role now.
And big bro, that's hard to say when KO just finished coming off a main event with Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. Right. And Johnny Knoxville and Sammy, big bro, for me and your money, was the most entertaining match of both nights.
There you go.
With Vince under control, big bro. That's what I want to say. With Vince running the show.
Yeah. Sammy and KO are irrelevant. Don't overlook them.
And now, big bro, you get Triple H at the helm, who's probably going to run with this Sammy bloodline thing for a little bit. But, big bro, after seeing Raw last week, this week, the week before last, it's no more Kevin Owens KO show. It's the prize fighter. It's the prize fighter.
It is. He's doing his thing. What? KO is KO.
Right.
No matter what you give him, he's going to make it work. And now he's able to be himself. What he came in as.
The prize fighter. Big bro, the shorts, the KO shirt. That's all you got to give him, right, big bro? Fight Owens, fight.
All I'll say is, who helped KO?
Big bro, no.
You got to go back to it.
I'm not.
Triple H. I'll say that you won't.
Okay.
KO's definitely a Triple H guy.
And so is the guy that we're about to talk about, big bro. So me and you were watching Raw. Raw was going great, big bro, because me and you, our mind was Dexter Lumis had kidnapped The Miz. That's our mind was there, big bro. We were like, okay, well, Edge and Priest is coming up, big bro. I'm just thinking about Miz getting kidnapped. How they're going to put this in the storyline?
We get the beginning of hour three.
And big bro, Johnny Gargano music hit.
And the crowd goes wild.
And you sent
the music.
And you sent me a message that I will not repeat on this podcast. And Big Bro said, nah, I mean, Triple H not going to take your soul like that. You hear the music, you know you're going to say music, him.
But you didn't believe it until you actually saw him come out. Because the music played for a minute.
And Big Bro, then he came out. And it's Johnny Gargano. Johnny Wrestling is back in WWE. And big bro, I can only imagine, like I said, what Malachi Black, Adam Cole, even Kyle O'Reilly, who signed that big extension, are feeling, big bro. Because, like I said, Swerve and Keith Lee, although Swerve said nope to WWE, big bro, on his tweet, you can't tell me that Swerve and Keith Lee not coming back.
I can see practically the whole NXT roster coming back. The black and gold roster. To be on the main show. But the thing is, can we get everybody back?
Big bro, I think that we can get majority of the people back because people are saying, I wonder how Triple H is getting this money. No, big bro, it's basically the guys got cut.
The money is there. They made all those budget cuts.
Right.
And then on top of that, they're doing well.
Big bro, real well. Big bro, how the WrestleMania tickets going on? Going for, that's 8 months away.
It's almost sold out.
Big bro, not one night,
both nights.
In Los Angeles, California, which is a big market, big bro, and you have to pay more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we in recession.
And people are finding a way to get to Hollywood, California.
So what does that tell you?
That they don't. That they care about the product.
I'm glad I invested in WWE stock.
I love it. So, big bro, now we get to this point. We see Gargano. We're happy to see him. And he brings up he was the former North American champion.
Things that we don't hear on WWE television. On Raw, SmackDown, we don't hear accomplishments of NXT.
Right.
But on this night, and every night they're going at, we probably will hear more and more of NXT accomplishments.
And big bro, how, and not to get off of Gargano, look how Shawn Michaels and Triple H made this storyline with Dexter Lumis. If you kidnap somebody, you're going to jail. He shows up on Tuesday, big bro, kisses Indy Hartwell, gives her a note, and he gets arrested. So big bro, that means that Shawn and Triple H really are working together. It's not no, oh yeah, we're gonna forget about big bro. So basically, you have to watch all three shows.
It's funny you mentioned that. That's something that they mentioned on Busted Open. How all shows seem synchronized and everything is following in the circle.
Right.
Everything is linked. So you one show is linked to the other, and it's just not one show being skipped over to talk about another.
Right. And now, big bro, with this Worlds Collide that you've been wanting a lot.
Well, that just tells you it's continuity in WWE across the board now.
Now, big bro, would you think from 2022 all the way back to 1997 that two guys that made D-Generation X would be running WWE and still are running WWE?
No. No. You could have told me then. That now that they would be running it. You couldn't have told me that then. Especially not Shawn Michaels.
A And Big Bro, I love that Shawn Michaels always said that he was a hard guy to deal with, but he had a chip on his shoulder. And it's almost, Big Bro, like you go back to the villain, like you want to hear the backstory.
Right.
And Shawn always felt as though Big Bro, he was 6'1", he was 230, and everybody else was bigger than him, so he had to prove a point. He had
something to prove, so his ego had to be bigger than that 6'5", 300 pounder.
And now, Big Bro, you talk to a Christian Shawn Michaels. I'm not going to even say this. I mean, it is a whole different person, Big Bro. It's a whole
different person, but he still has that ego.
And Big Bro, the weird thing about...
It's just not a-hole.
And Big Bro, the weird thing about it is Santos Escobar and them said that they can't be professional talking to Shawn Michaels because they know who he is. Like, it's hard to be professional.
Yeah, but they love that, though.
Right.
They love that, that they could just talk.
Right.
So they had, like, that connection that was hard for people to get with Vince.
Big Bro, right. And you get it with Shawn. You get it with Triple H. Right.
You get it with them. So these are probably things that were lacking and stunting the growth when Vince was still under the helm.
Right. Because, like you said, Big Bro, it wasn't that Vince was nonchalant. It was just that it was hard to get to Vince. And like you said, people really didn't know how to approach him.
Right. So when you don't know how to approach somebody, you can come off as, what, timid?
Right.
Not sure of yourself.
Right.
Less confident than what you actually are.
Right.
So Vince isn't going to respect that.
Big Bro, right. And Big Bro, it was prevalent when me and you talked about it. And Seth Rollins got on the man's table, and we said, who gets away with that? And you said, Seth.
It's a short list.
So, oh man, it's crazy, Big Bro.
Now we have Johnny Gargano back in the ring, standing ovation to the crowd. Out comes his former protege from NXT.
And Big Bro, I told you he would be brash and disrespectful.
You did. Theory said, well, it seems like he's the veteran now, and he could teach Johnny some things.
And Big Bro,
he can show him the way.
And Big Bro, people don't want to see us fight. They want to see us together. Give it to me. Hit me, Johnny. Hit me. And Big Bro Gargano gives him the super kick.
He hit him with some sweet chin music.
And Big Bro, he ran around in the ring like Shawn did. And people didn't notice that. So, I love Gargano being back, Big Bro, and I think this is going to bring the best out of a lot of people because, I mean, let's be real, Big Bro. It's nobody in the world wrestling entertainment, nobody in Impact, nobody in AEW, not nobody in New Japan. No one, no one can put their shoulders on the mat for 2.99 better than Johnny Gargano.
That's true. So, as we speak.
Okay.
We all know there will never be another Attitude Era.
Okay.
But we are on the cusp of something that could be very close to that.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. Because you know why, Big Bro? Everything Cody has said has came true.
It all comes back around.
And Big Bro, why did Johnny Gargano leave? He wanted to be with his wife and raise his son for 9 months, right? He bet on himself. Who bet on himself, Big Bro, in 2016? Cody Rhodes. Who bet on himself when he left AEW, Big Bro, and had a 5-star match with Seth Rollins?
Cody.
And what did you say, Big Bro, after Gargano came back? Wait till Cody come back.
Yo, it's sick out here right now.
And the weird thing about it is, Big Bro, I see why Triple H and Stephanie and Nick Khan don't want to do a draft until after WrestleMania. Because we always say that WrestleMania is a hard reboot.
It seems like they're just loading their deck now. And then they're going to shuffle it.
Right.
And deal all the cards.
After Mania.
It's nuts. But like we said, all them people that was up and quick to go AEW.
Right.
What is their thought process now? Is their thought process, oh, we're still on this shit with Tony, we're going to make this the best thing ever? Or are they like, damn, how do I get back?
I think it's a lot of people. I think it's 70% of them that's saying the second thing.
70%, that's high.
70. Big bro, the only person that I don't see going back is Jericho.
I disagree.
Wow.
I think Jericho would go back for one last run. Especially in this new era. It's different. And what is Jericho all about? Doing different things. AEW starting to get a little stale.
Big bro.
They're not building stories.
They're not.
They're hardly building up talent. I mean, you had all these injuries, but it's like you was recycling the same people in the circle around and around and around again.
Can I before we finish before we finish Gargano, Big Bro, can I just say one thing that me and you love about AEW that we hope that Tony don't get rid of?
What's that?
Jay Lethal sat in them singing song Jay Dutt.
What's gonna happen when Warlow can't powerball Sandom sing though?
But Big Bro, if he does powerbomb him, does that mean, and I don't want to say this in a derogatory way, Big Bro, but Tony wants to build people like himself, like Sandom Singh and his dad. If he gets powerbombed, Big Bro, is Sandom Singh really a hero? He's not. It's the same symphony. Now I'm happy Karrion Kross didn't go to AEW, Big Bro. Can you imagine if he had that match against Warlow with Triple H? I think Triple H would have called him back, but I don't think his thing with Kross and Reigns would have been like it is.
Oh, no. It wouldn't have been killer.
Right. So.
It's all about the timeline.
Big Bro, you love Kross saying he's going to create a new one.
Definitely a new one being created.
Alright, so Big Bro, now that Johnny Gargano was back, I really think that he's going to come after Clash of the Castle. I don't think he's going to be there next week, Big Bro. I think he's going to come after Clash of the Castle, and then I think he'll start wrestling around that time frame.
Well, what better way to start than him in theory?
And Big Bro, I think that if he wrestled Theory, he's going to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. And I don't think it's going to be a knock on Theory. I just think that I don't know. I can't even describe it, Big Bro. I don't know whether to say Johnny already deserves it. But if he wins the briefcase, people won't be like, oh, well, I mean, Johnny just came up from NXT. No, you know who the hell Johnny Gargano is.
Right. I understand where you're going with it, but I can't see Theory not taking his shot. I can't see them pulling what they pulled on Otis. I can't see it.
Okay. All right. Big Bro, that's what you think, right? I mean,
that hurt. When they did that to Otis, that hurt.
And you know what's so crazy?
He was hot. That story with him and Mandy, best story that was going.
Big Bro was. It was, and now it's crazy because we'll talk about Mandy next week because she has a big match coming up. So, Big Bro, with Gargano coming back, you know what I'm automatically thinking about, right?
No, what's that?
We have to get Gargano and Ciampa back.
No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Yes, Big Bro.
So, you say you get them back.
Uh-huh.
Can you run back the same exact storyline that they had at NXT?
Yes!
I agree.
Because you know why, Big Bro? Because people didn't see it on this platform.
So how do you get Ciampa away from The Miz?
You already did. Triple H already did, Big Bro. Miz can be gone for 6 weeks with his family and come back and say, you people forgot about me. I think that Miz is actually on a break right now, Big Bro.
Okay.
Where is he at?
Why not?
Just like Two Dimes.
Well, we know where he at. We don't talk about where he at.
So
he on duck.
So Big Bro, Big Bro talk about a comeback. Me and him are gonna talk about big news regarding New Japan.
Bad Brothers.
Yes, sir. Bad Brothers back.
He back. Saving two. Let's get it.
All right, Big Bro. So big news regarding New Japan. Starting September 4th and 5th, Big Bro, the fans will be, they can finally cheer and boo again. How you see that going, Big Bro?
From what I heard, is they're going to start selling like cheering section tickets. So it'll be a section of the crowd that can cheer. Because I guess the way that they're doing it is like the capacity. So they're going to open and start slowly and work their way back up to full crowd cheer, I guess, by Wrestle King.
Gotcha.
So, they always about their money.
Right.
And you know, Japanese, they're respectful of the rules. They're not like us.
Big Bro, that's funny you said that, because the one thing that I was thinking about is whenever Gato guys want to hear some type of pop, it seems like Gato sent them to America, right?
Yeah, same thing with Refresh.
Right.
They worked a whole different style here.
Right.
When we seen them.
Right. Because, Big Bro, we saw Big Ishii in Kingston, which to me was the best card, best match on the card when we went to DC.
Right.
And Big Bro, Ishii was a little bit quicker. He was still strong style,
right,
but he was a little bit quicker in DC.
Like he was lighter on his feet.
Right. And sometimes, Big Bro, I think them New Japan guys need us to say, go Ace. They need us to say, Okada.
Right.
They need us to boo Jay White. They need that.
They all need the reaction. That's what this genre is about. They work off a response from the crowd.
Right.
So when you're not getting response, it's kind of hard to get hype.
Big Bro, right. And you know, with the whole COVID situation that we had, and it was almost like when you were in New Japan, Big Bro, all you could... That's all you could do. And right, you can't really tell what you're doing from there.
Right.
You know what I mean, Big Bro? Especially if somebody like Tanahashi went against Okada. Are they saying go Ace, or are they saying Okada?
Right.
You didn't know.
Usually they would try to set the tempo for the crowd, but, you know, crowds follow their own beat.
Big Bro, right. Right. And what you saying that, Big Bro, because how many people love House of Torture? It's a lot. And Big Bro, they're some of the most...
See, that's the thing about New Japan. Depending on what stadium they go to.
Right.
It's for whatever faction.
Big Bro, right.
He's like...
East, and you never told me that.
Has a territory.
Right, and you never told me that, Big Bro, because you said, oh yeah, Okada not going to get a big reaction because he's in LIJ country.
Right.
Right, Big Bro? When you're in Chaos Country, Big Bro, you might not hear too much Naito.
Nah.
But they love that crazy Hiromu, don't they?
They love everybody.
But
right now, New Japan, the crowds are loving everybody. I think they love Jay White more than anybody.
Big Bro, I think they do.
Low key.
I'm your family.
Yeah.
But Big Bro, it's no one that they love more than the House of Torture.
Evil, you son of a...
And Big Bro, not only do they love the lovely Peter.
See, I don't know what this variation of Bullet Club is.
Right.
It's very different from years past.
Right.
JY assembled a different, is completely different from everyone else in the dominant fashion that they had.
Right.
But seeing Jay White and Taji Ishimori together, if they was ever to be a real tag team, that's scary.
How about that? So, Big Bro, I love that the crowd, I mean, you were saying the thing about the cheering section. I think that people will pay a little bit more to make some noise. And I just really think it's good for the overall brand because, like you said, Big Bro, we'll know exactly who was cheered, who was booed.
Right.
Because, I mean, Big Bro, it's hard not to sit up there and cheer for Juice Robinson.
I mean, it's going to be a little bit because they're probably being able to cheer.
Right.
They're going to cheer everybody.
Right, Big Bro, right.
A little bit.
And Big Bro, and I think that's probably, and remember, Big Bro was Bizarro World last year when Vince had finally opened the doors, big bro. You didn't know. They was just cheering everybody for a period of time.
Yeah.
And then it got to, here we go.
Yeah.
Boo. Boo. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that, big bro. But I think it's good for the overall wrestling. And not to mention that Gato had a New York Rumble 44th Street, big bro. Sold out. So, I mean, Gato knows what he's doing. We'll see you next year.
Most definitely.
Come back to Washington.
We love New Japan. You can't tell.
Yeah, big bro, strong style. And big bro, give us red shoes, Uno.
I'm good with saying shoes.
How about that, big bro? I love that. I love that. So, when me and big bro come back, we're going to talk about Raw is always chaos and why we love it.
Bad bros.
The Bad Brothers back.
Segment 3. Let's wrap this baby up.
All right, big bro. So, Raw is always chaos and we love it. I want you to talk a little bit and elaborate on that a little bit, big bro.
Seems like they're coming up with new inventive ways to open the show.
Right.
Not just the standard, send somebody out in the middle of the ring for the opening promo for a half an hour and get the cheap city pop.
Gotcha.
Instead, you open up with a brawl that spills out into the crowd as the camera's coming on live.
Right. And big bro, we said, big bro, it almost reminds me of NXT, how NXT started sometimes.
Right. You're getting all these different ways that they're opening the show.
Right.
You can mix in the opening promo every now and then, but to come in with an old-fashioned brawl, come on now.
And big bro, remember, before the fireworks, this is before that show actually starts.
Right.
Like, before we, welcome to Monday Night Raw.
Nah, didn't get that.
So, they spill out into a brawl, big bro. Then we get Trish in her hometown of Toronto. Then we get Bayley, Io, and Dakota.
What are they going with, though?
Big bro, I think that they are controlling their own narrative, so to speak.
Interesting.
So, big bro, this is my thing, and we'll talk about this next week when we talk about the six-woman tag match. So, I feel as though that Bayley and Io and Dakota, big bro, it's a plan for them, but we want to guess it. We want to figure it out, but we can't.
It's not so much as figuring it out, but it seems like they're showing direction for certain people, but not so much with them. Like, we got the good initial return when they all came back.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it hasn't been too much development.
So big, right. So big bro, this is my thing. It's always to me, right? It's always kind of interesting when, not that you have to guess, but you don't know what's going on. You don't know. You don't. Why? What motivates this group, big bro? Is it because they Dakota got cut and EO was in NXT and then Bayley got off an injury and she's coming back and people forgot about her? What is their motivation, big bro? I don't think we got to that yet.
Yeah, but it needs to be established.
Big bro, I don't think you have to establish it just yet. Because right now, no, you don't have to, big bro. I think right now what they're doing is that they're trying to make sure that EO and Dakota get built up sort of to Bayley. Bayley's gonna beat Bianca Belair in the six-woman tag match
but
next
Bayley
week.
Bayley still needs to build herself up because she's still below Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky.
Do you really think she's below? Ah, that's a conversation for another day, big bro.
I made the statement, all right.
Yeah, okay.
So
you go with that, big bro. You go with that.
It is.
So, big bro, we have to find out. I think that Triple H has a plan for him and it's going to be talked about. What are they doing?
I don't doubt that he has a plan for them.
You just want to see it now.
I want to see something. I don't need the whole picture. I just want to see a step.
Okay, big bro. I mean, big bro, you picked EO and Dakota to win the tag team championships, right? You picked them to win it.
I did.
So if they win these tag team championships, Big Bro, does that bring a match with Sasha and Naomi, who never lost the championships, and then you get this whole big thing again, and you get the Bayley and Sasha thing? We don't know. That's what I'm saying, Big Bro. We don't know. We don't know how Triple H. I mean, Big Bro, it's been fires and policemen on Raw every week since Triple H taking over. But if you go to the bathroom and you miss it, I think we're going to miss the whole picture. I think Triple H. War. Anyways.
But we're back to basics now. Keep it simple.
Big Bro, if you go watch an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, and you go to the bathroom, you tell me to keep it simple.
You can't go to the bathroom during an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, you can't. Why, Big Bro? Because you didn't suck. Why is it a spider in the water? Okay.
If you go to the bathroom during one of them movies, you might as well just leave.
Right.
Or just go to the next show.
Right.
There's no point in going back.
Right. Because
you're lost. You're done. It's over.
Big Bro, why is this spider always around? I don't know. Big Bro, why is it a spider in the water? Big Bro, why is it a spider in the bathroom? Big Bro, why is it a... And it has nothing to do with the spider.
Absolutely nothing.
So... man, we'll see what happened with that. But Big Bro, Dexter Lumis has taken over Raw.
It's a credit to how well his character was built.
Gotcha.
Because it seems like people recognize him from NXT.
It do. It do, Big Bro. It do.
And it seems like they like it.
Right.
So, the unknown nature of his creepiness and what he's actually out here to set forth and do, still to be determined.
I love that you said that, Big Bro, because if people want to say, I know that everybody wants their cake right then and there, and me and you like the slow build. So what you saying that, Big Bro, I don't want to hear people saying, what do we need from this character? He don't talk, he don't do that. I don't want to hear that, because 30 years ago, me and you saw Undertaker who did not talk at all. Mm. And Paul Bearer talked for him, and all he said was rest in peace. That's it. And then it took him, what, Big Bro, about 7 or 8 years before he actually started talking?
On his own, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it was as far as that character could go. Mm-hmm. Now, with Dexter Lumis, Big Bro, I don't think his character actually has to talk. Because everybody does the talking for him.
Yeah. Yeah. His facial expressions and everything, his movements, all that says it for him. There you go.
See what I'm saying? So, and he kissed Indy Hartwell last night, Big Bro, and that goes on to the story with you saying that you think that
that was the only time we heard him talk. Was that the win?
I do. Big Bro, and another thing I want you to think about. You said that you think that Dexter Lumis going to Indy Hartwell was Triple H and Shawn putting Indy on the main roster, and I can see that.
In a way.
Because you don't know what else was in the note,
and
right?
And tying up their storyline on NXT, which never got the conclusion because he got let go.
Right.
Hot fact.
Hot fact. I like that.
Who trained Dexter Lumis?
Who trained Dexter Lumis? I don't know, Big Bro. I had to go back and look at that. I don't know who trained with Dexter Lumis. Who trained him?
Bully.
Bully Ray?
Yes, sir.
NWA Bully Ray?
Bully.
What? Did not know that. So, Big Bro, what does Bully think about Dexter Lumis?
He loves it. He loves it.
I did not know that, Big Bro. That's kind of cool. But, Big Bro, can I ask you a question? Who hasn't Bully Ray or Booker T trained that's in AEW, Impact, or WWE?
But all you know is, if they coming out of one of their schools, you know they're trained right.
And Big Bro, Bully said, like, we was listening to Busted Open, dog, and we was listening to Broken Skulls, Big Bro. He said, I can guarantee you training, and I can guarantee you a shot. You know what I mean, Big Bro? A shot.
Right.
A shot. And Big Bro, I think that's all them kids need is a shot.
Right.
And like you said, who hasn't? I mean, big bro, when you say Booker T and Bully Ray, what do you think about? Guys don't get hurt. You know what you're gonna do.
Respect.
And I think we're lacking that in some instances, big bro. I think we're lacking a lot of that.
It's all about where you train. Well, you gotta think about a lot of people at the Indies were trained the wrong way.
Right.
So they don't have the same mindset as someone who's had formal training.
Right.
And it shows. And the reason Bully does it the right way is because when he got into the business,
he took
his money, and he didn't get trained properly.
And we can hear Bully talk 2 more hours on Broken Skull, big bro. Because it's just that Bully Ray and Booker T, big bro, although sometimes we disagree with some of the statements that they say, far as like, nah, we don't see it that way, but they're always dead on, big bro, whether it's right or wrong. They're dead on the situation or whatever they're talking about.
Right. You can tell they respect the business and love it for what it is.
So, I'm bring something else up to your attention, big bro, as we talk about Raw is always chaos. So, another thing that I love that Raw is doing, big bro, is that I love that we're getting more of the Almighty.
The Almighty is the Almighty. Almighty is what he should have always been.
Mm-hmm.
He should have always been in the spotlight in some way, shape, or form.
Gotcha.
He is upper echelon.
Big bro, I love that you said that.
The thing is, to have him running the U.S. Championship, that's a great look.
Big bro, right.
It's just a great look, period.
And the guy looked like $1 million.
I mean, he's had his run at the top, which was great.
Yeah, big bro, and that's the weird thing about it is, big bro, you can still, he's right there, whereas though, if he goes back to the main event picture,
he's not a mid.
It's not a, right.
And at this point, is there even really a such thing as a mid-card talent? Think about what it's comprised of.
Big bro, I think you're right. I think you're right. Because, I mean, a talent can get to the main event spot because they're not put in, let's say, the first match or second match, and they're not put in this, as you would say, box. It's a ceiling. It's not a ceiling. It's not a ceiling, big bro. It's not a ceiling that you can't get to. So, okay. I don't see a mid-carder.
We got an example. Let's go back to NXT Black and Gold. Now, you had that whole roster.
Mm-hmm.
Vying for the championship. Mm. Then they brought in the North American.
For Adam Cole.
Was there anyone there who was considered a mid-carder who couldn't be in the main event?
No. No.
And that's what Triple H is going to build on the main roster.
Right. And I agree with that. Big bro, remember the NXT Black and Gold? We had Ricochet, who never won the NXT championship, but he wasn't considered a mid-carder. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, who had this incredible run, Adam Cole, and then you had Kyle O'Reilly, who Triple H was trying to build up, and then he left because things were changing. So, yeah, I agree with you, big bro. It wasn't a mid-card talent because they were all built just kind of around the same way, yeah.
And who and what other company does it in that manner?
New Japan.
There you go.
New Japan.
So the solid formula out there. Why not follow it? Another thing is that Triple H is doing that I really like. He's using local talent again.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, big bro. I know you like that. And, big bro, me and you hate the word enhancement because we said that it just sounds worse. People say, oh, yeah, you got to say enhancement because of Jabba. A Jabba sounds better to me, big bro, than enhancement. I don't care how you put it. So.
These are just little tweaks that they're making.
Right.
And it's noticeable across the board. And I like the direction that they're headed in.
And Big Bro, this is the thing. Me and you always kind
of
talk.
In the midst of the chaos.
I like that.
There's sense.
Ah, I like that. So, Big Bro, me and you always said that right around WrestleMania, SummerSlam, it kind of starts slowing up a little bit until Royal Rumble.
Right.
I don't see that now. I see that Triple H is hitting Clash at the Castle hard. He's going to move into Extreme Rules to get us over. It's going to take us to Survivor Series that's going to be huge because December, they're not going to chill, Big Bro, but they're going to get promos and stuff ready and built for the Royal Rumble.
Can we get a real Survivor Series? I'm excited.
How about that? Big Bro, that's all I'm saying, and I'm saying it right here now. Give me Gunther versus Lashley.
Banger.
Big Bro, the Almighty versus Gunther.
The Reign General.
But Big Bro, that's only if me and Big Bro don't say wow when we see this Sheamus versus Gunther match.
Yeah, he got.
Because that's going to be hard hitting.
He got to get past Sheamus first.
And Big Bro, every chop that he get from Gunther, Sheamus is going to eat it and love it, and he's going to give it right back. That's one thing about Sheamus. Big Show said he always loved Big Bro. He said Sheamus will give it, when he give it to you, he'll receive it right back how you gave it to him. How he gave it to you. So, Big Bro, I see a lot of red chests with Gunther and Sheamus.
I see a lot of bruising lately anyway, though.
Big Bro, how physical is that match going to be?
I think you got to open the show with that.
Big Bro, do you really want to open that up in Cardiff?
I would.
Do you really want to open that up in Cardiff?
I would.
Well, it's all right, Big Bro, because Tony going to start with Moxley and Punk tonight.
Lord. Bleeding as soon as it come on screen.
Big Bro, you know what's so crazy? Tony can't do a brawl before the show start. Nope. Because Triple H already did it.
Blood can't save you, Tony. Blood can't save you.
Wow. So me and Big Bro will be back next week. We got two shows. We got the Worlds Collide and Clash of the Castle that we're going to talk about in one show. And then the other show we're going to talk about, AEW All Out. How about that, Big Bro?
And we're all out this week. Thank you for tuning in.
I like
love
that.
Love y'all. Bad Bros out.